This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we finish Zephaniah with Israel's joy and restoration, and then move to 1 Timothy with introduction, using the law lawfully, Christ comes to save sinners, and shipwreck of faith. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy on us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you. reading from Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of Jesus. One of the smart things that my wife and I did when we were engaged some 30 years ago was we took ballroom dance lessons. Now, this was a little bit odd in Waco, Texas, a lovely Baptist town where I was on vicarage, but there were dance groups there. We were maybe the youngest people by about 50 years or something. But there is something about dancing that is remarkable. It means that the two become one. Their movements, their intentions, leading and following back and forth throughout the room as it goes. Dancing is a picture of marriage. It really is. Now, if you were to think about this, one of the questions that we might ask about it is, which is harder, to lead or to follow? Now, if I can evoke an image for you, at least for some, of Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, and I am no Fred Astaire, make no mistake. The saying was that Fred Astaire was the greatest dancer, except for Ginger Rogers, who had to do everything backwards in high heels. No matter where they went, no matter how they moved around the room, basically she couldn't see anything that was coming. The leader leads, the follower follows. And in this weird way, in this strange dance, the purpose is not to show how great a leader the leader is. The purpose is to make his partner beautiful. The purpose is so that everyone looks at her on the floor and says, wow. How can she move like that? Easier and harder isn't really even the right question. In this perfect dance, in this perfect liturgy, if you will, one could hardly imagine there being one without the other. And in the same way, when we talk about Christian marriage, leading and following this back and forth, this dance of life that we have, it goes so closely that one hardly can tell who is leading and who is following. But the husband sacrifices, loves, gives, makes his bride beautiful and holy. And the bride receives. She submits to his love. And make no mistake about it, that is no easy thing for either the husband or the wife. For all of us want to receive when we should sacrifice and sacrifice when we should receive. Our dance as husband and wife really is imperfect. We stumble, we fall. I don't know where I'm going. My feet get caught up in one another. And so I trip. I reveal my sin against my wife when I don't do what I am given to do. But that's the dance. And so it goes on. Now, the miraculous thing, the mysterious thing, is that we are not ultimately talking about Christian marriage, husband and wife. We're talking about Christ and his church. Jesus does not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so he serves us. He sacrifices for us. He sanctifies us. He saves us. Just as he washed Peter's feet, even so, he washes us with his own blood and makes us clean and holy. And we, his bride, receive him, rejoice in him, and I dare say, revel in his great salvation. And just as in that Christian marriage, in that dance where the bride does not always know where the bridegroom is leading, even so, the church walks forward in life backwards, always led by her Savior, by her bridegroom, eyes on him and not on herself. The liturgy of the divine husband and his bride. This is the song. This is the dance which has no end. This is who you are as the body of Christ. Sing the song of salvation. Recognize the morning star when he comes and know that his love is for you forevermore. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
In our prayers, we remember Aaron, toddler son of Reverend Matthew Wheatfelt, who has been hospitalized with pneumonia. I cry to you, O Lord. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. My mouth is filled with your praise. Every day I will bless you. By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
He redeems your life from the pit.
And crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. Merciful Father, your patience and loving kindness toward us have no end. Grant that by your Holy Spirit, we may always think and do those things that are pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, Father in heaven, watch over your child Aaron, now afflicted with sickness. Mercifully spare the life you have given. Relieve his pain, guard him from all danger, and restore his health according to your gracious will, that he may be raised to a life of faithful service to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.